Hello and welcome back to Project Pod with me, Marietta Sandilands, sharing stories of people who are changing their life through the way they work. So today in pod number 13, I was speaking with digital nomad Seppi Tabibian. So Seppi was sharing with me her story of moving to Spain and starting to work remotely in digital marketing. So today we talk a lot about the process of moving, which was something that happened over a period of years. And we also talk about the two creative projects that Seppi has developed since moving to Madrid. So these projects are two online communities that combine offline events and retreats, for example, with the online element of sharing information and answering questions and connecting like-minded people. So the two groups are firstly She Hit Refresh, a group for women over 30 who are changing their life through travel. And the second group is the Madrid Blogger Network, which, just as it sounds, is a group providing resources and training and connecting people who are blogging, creating content, creating podcasts here in Madrid. Both of the groups were started by Seppi really from a need that she had herself, whether she was looking for women who are doing similar things with their lives or to develop certain skills around blogging and website development, for example. And what I love about Seppi's approach is that she takes the approach of learning through projects, which is obviously something that I feel passionately about and love. And also that she started with a need that she had, whether it was in meeting women who are in a similar situation or developing certain skills. And she went out there and has created these two groups that have grown hugely in the last couple of years. The She Hit Refresh group has grown to almost 5,000 members in the last year since it was started. And the groups provide so much help and useful resources to so many people. So Seppi's work really is demonstrating the value of going out there, creating something where you see there's a need, and then watching the huge value that it brings to so many people. So I hope you enjoy the podcast with the incredibly hardworking, wonderful Seppi Tabibian. Okay, so today I'm here with the wonderful Seppi Tabibian, who is a digital marketer and works in community building and many, many things that she's going to tell us about today. So welcome, welcome to Project Pod, Seppi. Very lovely to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Me too, and glad that we finally switched on the recorder after speaking for about 2 hours. So, you know, it's about time.
Yeah, this is my second interview now with the mic on.
Seppi, so you are, we are in Madrid. We've mm-hmm. both been here for about 2.5 years, actually. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing here at the moment? Why Madrid? And can you tell us a little bit about your time here?
Yeah, great question. I moved here September 2015. Currently, like Marietta said, I'm working in online marketing, generally around social media marketing and community building. But I didn't do that when I got here. What brought me here, we'll have to go back a little bit, but I'll give you kind of the version starting for 2015. I was ready for a change and living in Texas at the time, which is where I'm originally from, Austin, Texas. And so I decided I was going to move back to Madrid. I've lived here before in the past. And I came here on one of those teaching English visas that all of us Americans are here on. But with, you know, in mind, I had that I wasn't going to get stuck in teaching English because it's not what I wanted to do. And I'd actually done this program, the auxiliary program, when I was 26. And so doing it again at 35 felt like stepping backwards, like, you know, I wasn't mm-hmm. moving forward. And so it was kind of a hard pill to swallow. But I told myself, I'm going to come. I'm going to hustle. I'm going to get out of that and find a way to finally stay in Spain. So that led me on my path of marketing. I got lucky and got hired by a Spanish company to work on the marketing team. They sponsored my visa, which is quite rare for an American. Mm-hmm. And that kind of stumbled into the work that I'm doing now.
Okay. Yeah. And so why Spain as well? Mm. Why come to Spain? Why not stay and be based in Texas or somewhere in the States? What brought you here specifically, and why? Because obviously you'd been here in your 20s and then mm-hmm. came back. Mm-hmm. What drew you here?
So I came here first when I was 21, and I had traveled a bit in Europe previously, and so I was kind of picking a different country every year. And that year, my mom had encouraged me to come try out Spain, learn some Spanish. So I came for the summer to Madrid, studied Spanish, and just fell in love with the country. And so I kept coming over the years, I kept coming back and forth to visit, and then finally came to try to live. But again, I always got caught or kind of stuck in teaching English, and that's not what I wanted to do. So in 2009, I came back again, and I did my master's here in international relations. And through some events in life, I didn't get to pursue my career aspirations in international relations, and I had to move back to Texas.
Okay.
So after being in Texas for 5 years after my master's, I actually had a trip that led me back through Spain for a few days, and it kind of reawakened that feeling I had when I used to live here that I forgot about. Being back in Austin and building my life there after my master's, I just got caught up with my routine, my life, and kind of, you know, being settled in the U.S. And so, yeah, I came here for those few days, and it planted a seed that when I went back to Texas, I was obsessed with moving back. I just couldn't get that idea out of my mind of, I forgot what it was like to be in this vibrant, energetic city that is uber social, and I was not having a social life at the time. And so, yeah, so then I decided to make an exit strategy and came back to kind of see what it would be like to live in the city that I forgot how much I loved.
Okay. And so what were you, in your 20s, what were you working in kind of a traditional job in Texas? What was the setup? What were you doing?
Well, that was how it started. So yeah, so I studied marketing in my undergrad and immediately got a sales job, working in travel sales, which was suited for me because I was obsessed with travel. So I did that for 2 years, but sales burns you out. So I left that job when I was 26, and that's when I came to Spain to do the teaching English, the auxiliary program to teach English here. And I stayed here a year. And then from then, I mean, travel was always my focus in my 20s, so I did not prioritize my career. My kind of game plan when I went back and forth between Spain and the U.S. was just to get a job, work a year, save my money, so I could then leave the job to move back to Spain to try to make it work, which it never did, so that I'd move back to the U.S. So I didn't build a career. I kind of bounced around in my 30s, and it was a trip to Iran. I'm half Iranian, with my father, in my mid-20s, that really opened my eyes to the possibility of changing my focus from marketing to international relations. Okay. And so when I tried to merge the idea of staying in Spain, and I found an international relations program here in Madrid, so I thought, great, I could study what I want to study, be in the country I want to be in, and then take it from there. So at that point in my life, I thought I would, focus on international relations and start building that career that I didn't focus on in my 20s.
And then things changed in your 20s, and you decided to kind of not go down that route. And kind of what happened around then? What was the decision that to not pursue that? What was that based around?
Yeah, well, the decision to kind of finally focus on something, being international relations, that it just clicked. I had spent a summer, I had gone to Iran, and that really impacted me. And so I also went to Palestine and spent some time there. And kind of those two experiences really solidified. It was kind of the first time where I felt like, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to help people. I want to work in development education. And I was really drawn to Palestine. So my vision for my future career would be, after I finished my master's in Madrid, would be to spend some time in the Middle East and work on the field with people and kind of see where that would take me. And I was really excited to do that, but that's not what happened in life for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So things changed, and you were saying circumstances changed, and you decided to, you ended up going back to Texas. Okay.
Not by choice.
So life took you back there for a few years, 5 years. And then the wheels started going in your mind again about thinking of coming back to Madrid. So what gave you almost the the permission or the confidence or whatever it was to make that decision to come back over here? Mm-hmm. What was the kind of driving factor, would you say, in coming back over here?
Yeah. Well, I am by nature I don't know if I say impulsive, but I mean, I like change. So yeah, by nature, I'm a person who likes change. So that's why for me in my 20s, it was very easy to focus on traveling because I was always kind of chasing the next high of experiencing the next new culture. Mm-hmm. And so when I had moved back to Austin and spent those 5 years there, it was the first time in my life I had years that resembled the year before where I was in a routine. I had a steady job, I had my condo, my car, I was adulting, and I got very comfortable, and I kind of forgot about that free spirit part of me. And like I said, when I came to Spain for a few days on a trip, it just reawakened that free spirit inside of me and really made the possibility of moving back to Spain. It just reminded me how much I love to live here, and the possibility of coming back, like that free spirit in me felt like, oh, I can do this. I mean, just because I'm adulting in the U.S. doesn't mean I have to do this forever. I can try to move back again, you know? It isn't something that was just for my 20s. I can still do that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. It was just something inside me reawakened that gave me the permission to start making my exit strategy to do this. And also, I mean, maybe we can go more into that. At the time when I was living in Texas, I was helping take care of my sister, who's about 12 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. So I stayed in Texas to help take care of her, and I also didn't really think I could leave because I felt responsible. Mm-hmm. And so after my trip to Madrid, I talked to her about the possibility of leaving to kind of test the waters.
Yeah.
And she helped in giving me permission to let me know it would be okay. Like, she would be okay.
Yeah.
If I wanted to pursue my own dreams again.
Yeah. Which is a massive, a massive thing. To be able to have had that conversation and feel like, okay, I'm free now to go and pursue this.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you've been working here in digital marketing and social media marketing for a couple of years. So we started out teaching English. Actually, we could just talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, many people come here to teach English. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily their life goal. Mm-hmm. For some people it is. But let's just talk about that, how easy it is to get stuck in something that you don't necessarily feel that you think, well, it's not what I want to do and I'm not making the money I want to make. The issues around that. How have you kind of seen that play out here in Madrid?
Yeah, I mean, for Americans, it's really, unless if you're highly skilled, it is your foot in the door, and then you kind of get sucked into it because you end up falling in love with this country, and you will do anything to stay, and that is really your only way to stay. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't pay bad for the amount of work you do, and based on the average salary here in Madrid. But, if it's not what you want to do and you get sucked into it, it can kind of derail maybe what plans you had or ambitions you had because you get sucked into maybe the easy money. Other options are very difficult here for you. And so it can limit your mindset. I know for me, it was very important to just give it a year and get out. I knew I did not want to waste my time doing something that I didn't want to do.
Yeah. So after you had your year of teaching and I'm really impressed with how you stuck to that. You stuck to that focus, that time limit. You then got into digital marketing, social media marketing. And something I really want to speak to you about is your personal project that you're working on at the moment. She Hit Refresh.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, which is a community of women who are changing their life through travel, who are over 30.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. Tell us more. Tell us everything, because I know I joined maybe about a month ago, and I always feel really excited when I see your posts on Facebook. There's something I'm like, about you and your personality and the way that this community, in such a short time, you've grown it from to over 2,000 people in less than 6 months, which is incredible. And it's people are very engaged, contributing. It feels like there's a real buzz there. There's a real need. with this niche of being specific and going for women over 30 who might not have a, you know, might not be catered for elsewhere. It might be assumed that this would be something you'd be doing when you were younger. But yeah, tell us about it rather than me talking about it.
So. Well, thank you so much. And thank you so much for joining. Mm. Yes. So again, it's called She Hit Refresh. And just to clarify kind of what that means is, you know, I started this group along with a friend of mine who works in technology. And so Hit Refresh comes from F5 on your laptop, mm-hmm. is the refresh button. Mm-hmm. And so this idea all started, I mean, we did not have the idea to start a Facebook group. This was not our ambition. My friend, her name's Annette, last year quit her job that she'd been at for about 9 years, mm-hmm. And had just been saying, like, I need a refresh in my life. I just mm-hmm. need to hit refresh. And so I thought, oh, that's a great idea for a blog. You should start mm-hmm. a blog to chronicle, you know, this change in your life. And so we just kind of snowballed from that. And my lovely mentor, Kay Fabella, when I was talking this out with her, I was telling her I wanted to start a platform to reach women who, yes, who are over 30, and kind of give them tips and tricks on how to do what I did, you know, kind of change your life later in life.
Yeah.
And I was mentioning maybe starting a blog, and she brought up the idea of starting a Facebook community. That might be a great place to engage mm-hmm. women to talk about these issues and questions that we have. And I thought, well, why not? Let me try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in November, I started a Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was very important to keep it niche. Mm-hmm. You know, talking the idea out with people, especially men, it was interesting. They questioned, well, why do you have to put an age limit on it? Why can't it be all women?
Yeah.
Speaking to women, they really got it, why, you know, I had to have an age limit. But it's just because, you know, I think over 30, women are approaching life differently. They're in a different part of their life also, and also facing different questions. You know, when you're young, when you're in your early 20s, you're not maybe so much focused on, you know, kids, marriage, your career, and you're maybe more encouraged to explore.
Mm-hmm.
And for women 30, 40, 50 and older, people may question you when you have a solid career. Maybe you have kids. Maybe you have a property. May question, why, what? You want to leave your great career to what? To move abroad? Mm-hmm. Why would you do that? Or
yeah.
I know in my case, when I left, people were concerned I was jeopardizing the chance of meeting somebody because I was throwing this monkey wrench in my life or having kids. So I wanted to create a platform where women like me, and I knew there were more out there because many of the people that I've met in Madrid and some of my friends back home are in this circle,
mm-hmm.
a place where we can connect and kind of talk about the questions, concerns we have, and also help women who would like to do this and don't have anyone in their community or maybe in their circle that understands them or that can help them with any questions that they have. So that's where the idea came out of.
I think it's a brilliant idea, and this idea that you're saying of the niche thing of focusing on the age. I know from hearing another podcast that you were saying that the age range is from 30 to 70,
mm-hmm.
which is very cool.
Women in their 70s in there. It's incredible.
And this really almost, and as you said, that you were encouraged to explore, maybe there's that permission to explore when you're in your 20s, but then afterwards as though, well, you know, why are you not getting married, or why are you not, the pressure of those expectations that then can stop people, as you said, from, because you think, well, I need to go and kind of put my roots down here and in order to have the, you know, the life that's sort of expected of me.
Exactly. And not only external pressures. I mean, we, as women, we have these internal pressures too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. And how is it going then at the moment in the group?
Ooh, so it's going good. So like I said, I started in November and I just kind of tiptoed in, and Annette and I have just invited people we knew, our own friends,
mm-hmm.
In the group. And I think we had about 50 people in the beginning, mm-hmm. You know, kind of our friends,
okay.
invited their friends.
Yeah.
And then one day I just woke up and I thought, it's time. I think it was November 2nd. I'm like, it's time to start inviting people I don't know. And it just grew massively. It grew a lot quicker than I could have imagined. So like you said, last month we hit 2,000, and so that was 6 months into starting this community. And in November it'll be a year. My goal is to hit 5,000, you know, members by then.
Mm-hmm.
But not only the growth has been incredible, but the engagement, like you said.
Yeah.
Really, you know, in the beginning I did a lot to keep the momentum up.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, once we start hitting, you know, some of the higher numbers, the engagement has just been incredible. Just seeing women support each other, empower each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's been what I hope the group would be, is that it's a very positive, empowering place to be. And women can ask questions on, you know, this is the issue I'm dealing with in life. What is your advice? And then woof, within like 10 minutes, you have 30 women who have given, you know, their advice to how to handle situations. So it's just been really incredible to be a part of it myself.
What do you put that down to, the fact that the growth and the engagement for someone who might want to, you know, they're thinking they'd like to create an online community. What do you put it down to? What do you attribute the success to, and that growth and the engagement?
Yeah, reflecting on it and the experience, yeah, that I've gone through, and just, I mean, I'm no expert. I've only done this for a few months. But I mean, I think it depends on the kind of group you want. For mine, it was really important for me to build a connection with my members. And I mean, I love people in general, so it wasn't hard for me to be engaged every day and to read everyone's story and reply to them. So I think one, you know, you need to have the time to engage with your group. Just because you build it doesn't mean, well, just because you build it and they come doesn't mean they're going to engage, right? You probably are in groups with, you know, thousands of people, and the engagement may not be high. And that's probably because people aren't seeing the value in there. So in the beginning, work hard to invite people who meet the niche. You know, I have friends who want to be a part of this, but they're not our niche. You know, they've never moved. They don't want to move. I mean, I'm not going to let them in just because of my friends. So invite the right people, but be highly engaged from the beginning. And also plan. You have to plan and be strategic. I don't just wake up every morning and think, oh, I'm going to put this up. You know, I plan a month in advance, kind of the topics that I want to talk about, that I think we should address, and also build content. You know, we started a blog quickly after we started the group so we could provide more content. So constantly be aware of what your group wants and give that to them. So build value. The more value you can build, the more engaged people are going to be, and the more they're willing to share your group with other people, right? I mean, now we're starting to see a lot of members are inviting their friends.
And how did you work out what your members wanted? When you talk about giving value, is that purely based on the questions people ask, or how do you, in kind of being very responsive then in your content, how do you suss out that and provide value?
So it's a mixture of kind of what questions I have, kind of Annette and I talk things out, so we make a list of questions that we have. I go into other female travel groups on Facebook, which there's a lot out there. A lot of these other travel groups are geared towards more vacation, short term. But I'll look in there for the keywords of move abroad or over 30 and kind of see what the women are asking and start writing those questions. And of course, in my group, just really being engaged and paying attention to what people are saying, I can pull questions from that. So, I mean, you just have to have a pulse on your group. You have to be a participant, an active member in your own group. To really understand what they need.
And what's your ultimate, or your current aim for the group? So you said you want to grow up to by its 1 year anniversary to 5,000 members. What's your aim for it?
So our first year girl, well, once it started growing, then I thought, oh, I got to be strategic. There's something here, right? Maybe there's something I can bigger that I can do with this. So my first year goal is to definitely grow the audience and build value. So I just want to, you know, write more blog content. Maybe I'm starting to create some freebies, play around with that. So build the audience, build the eyes on She Hit Refresh. And then we'd love to, you know, start meeting people in person. In Madrid, I did start, you know, a meetup here. And so we're going to have our second meetup this week. I'm going to have a meetup in Austin, Texas this summer when I go back. And then, I mean, nothing's official, but we are talking about possibly having a retreat in 2019 somewhere on this side of the world to where we can spend a week with women who have refreshed or want to hit refresh. We call our members refreshers and help them really reach those goals that they have. So that's kind of what we have right now. Oh, and the podcast as well. So this has been on my to-do list for a few months. The podcast is kind of my summer project, and hopefully I can tackle that and share more stories.
And so you're doing, this is a, you know, a personal project at the moment, which I kind of almost don't like saying that because it makes it sound, I don't want to make it sound any less or more mm-hmm. amazing than it is and will as it's developing. But in terms of making money as well, you're doing your social media marketing around mm-hmm. that. And that's also a really interesting story because I think there's been an explosion in the, you know, the idea of digital nomadry and remote working, that I think lots of people aspire to that and want to do what you're doing. Mm-hmm. How has that transition been from your like Texas condo life
yeah.
to being a digital nomad? What's the reality like? What would you, yeah, let's talk about that, how it's been, and then really advice as well for people who would love to create a location independent career.
Mm-hmm.
So how has it been, that transition? Why did you want to, was that a very conscious thing that you wanted to be location independent? What was the...
It obviously was something that sounded alluring, but I just didn't see how I could leap from an office job to remote. This would have been my dream job, definitely in my 20s, right? To be location independent. But I just, I never saw a way that I could make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, when I worked in marketing for a Spanish company here, after I taught English, I quickly learned that job was not for me. And so it did allow me to get my feet wet in digital marketing, but I left that job. And so I was in Madrid, left a job that sponsored my visa. Leaving the job meant I lost my visa. And so I knew I couldn't be hired in Madrid. So kind of finding a remote job was out of necessity. I kind of, assess my situation. If I want to stay here and I want to work and I don't want to teach English, I need to find a job online. And so I had learned some skills working at this job. Also at the time I had started a blog. So I was learning very quickly a lot about social media marketing. And so those were the jobs that I started applying for. And it took 3 months. 3 months of looking, 3 months felt like an eternity. I was actually quite worried that, I was gonna, blow through kind of the money I had allotted for that time of the job search. And I wasn't sure if I was gonna find anything. And I wasn't sure if I was gonna find anything in what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But I did. And so it was just luck, I guess, Well, it was being persistent and luck to get that first break into remote work.
Okay.
And it wasn't exactly what I imagined.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it was great to not have to go into an office anymore. Mm-hmm. I did love, I worked from home or cafes from time to time. But I did love having the autonomy of my time of where I could work. And so a few months into the job, I tried traveling while working, which was quite challenging. But it really depends on kind of the job that you have, will determine how you can play with your remote work, right? There's a lot of people who are real digital nomads that can hop around with their job. With mine, I was kind of tied to certain time zones, so I was limited in certain ways.
Yeah.
For the last year, I really played around with what I could do, and it did offer me a lot of opportunities. I was able to go back to the U.S. for, 2 months last year and work while I was there because I had that flexibility, something that, I couldn't do with, a few weeks of vacation.
Yeah.
Playing around with this new remote job experience, really solidified, is this way or no way, right? Like, this is how I envision the rest of my career is in a remote, independent location sphere.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where, I know that you've written an article, which I'll post the link to in the notes to this episode. But where do people start to look for location independent work? Where can you find remote work for people who might be looking for that and thinking, well, where do I start?
Yeah, it depends on your skill set. Well, I mean, whatever skill set you have, if you have skills that you can transfer online, that's great. You're already one step ahead. If you don't have the skills yet, there are plenty of online sources where you can start gaining skills. But there are hundreds of online remote job sites, as you'll see if you start looking. We're about to put a piece out where I've kind of curated the ones that I think are the best or kind of have the best return on your applications. But I started out simply on Upwork, which there's a lot of people who don't like Upwork. Yeah. But as a place to start, if you've never done it, it's a great place to kind of build your resume. And if you look, there are gems in there. It took me 3 months to find my gem on there.
What kind of jobs are we talking about that you might be doing?
So, you know, when I look online, there's a lot of tech jobs. So if you're in tech, any kind of software engineer, there's a lot of jobs out there for you. Okay. So definitely techies, look out there. Anything marketing related, social media marketing, there's a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Writing, content creation. There are a lot of things I'm starting to see. I see healthcare on there, you know, virtual assistants, administrative roles as well.
Yeah.
But the world is shifting to a more remote friendly environment. So whatever field you're in, start looking and seeing, you know, what is out there. You might be surprised. And another tip that, you know, a friend of mine was able to do is your employer where you work now might be open to it depending on what your job is. So you might want to suss that out. Do your research before you have the conversation.
Yeah.
But it could be a way to start to dabble in remote work is through your current job.
I think that's a really good point that actually you don't necessarily know how the, you know, the world of work is changing and employers may be more open to it than you think.
Mm-hmm.
Something else we were talking about before recording was this idea of having, when you go from the support structure or the kind of the engagement or stimulation of when you're working in a team and you've got maybe a manager or a supervisor and a way of and kind of annual reviews and ways of gauging your progress and setting targets that you're accountable to in some kind of format, and then stepping outside of that when you're working for yourself and how you manage to keep perspective within that, keep developing and not kind of go into your own bubble too much. What tips would you give for people who need that, you know, to try and to make sure you're, you know, developing and getting really developing the best of your skills?
Yeah. I mean, that is, I guess the downside of remote work is that it's isolating, you know. It took me a while, but 8 months in of working from home, I really realized I can't do this anymore. I can do the remote work, but I need to be social again. I need to find a way. And so also I realized that my growth maybe was limited by working remotely. You know, when you work in an office, you know, your growth can really be accelerated because you are working with bright minds, you're bouncing off ideas, there's different pressures and expectations maybe in an office that you don't have when you're working remotely on your own. And so for me, I've realized, you know, I would like to continue working remotely, but I still want those benefits of what you get from working in an office. So I'm seeking out, you know, maybe working in a co-working space that not only gives you the social outlet, but also they have a lot of kind of maybe skill share sessions or mastermind sessions where you can continue to build your skills and also you build your network. And that's the other thing is that you need to, if you're not getting the mentorship or having the network from an office job when you work remotely, then you need to seek those out. And that's something that I've been really fortunate to build and have access to kind of through my Madrid blogger network and just going to social events and meeting other people who maybe work remotely or self-employed that are ambitious. And, you know, I feed off their energy and also learn a lot from what they have to offer.
And that brings me around to the next thing that we haven't mentioned, your amazing Madrid blogger network Facebook group.
Yeah.
So tell us about that, what you're doing with that, because that brings so much value to so many people here. How is that group different to She Hit Refresh, and what's the idea behind it? How does it work?
Yeah, so Madrid Blogger Network is my first Facebook group, baby. So that one I started a blog called Wanderlicious in 2016. And I was just, you know, I was not a blogger, and I wanted to find a network of people that I could meet in person to kind of ask questions and learn from. I found a lot of things online, but I wanted to meet in person. And I was surprised that there was not a group in Madrid, because there are a lot of bloggers here addressing blogger needs. So I just thought, okay, I'm going to create my own Facebook group. And people joined. And quickly after, we took it offline and started having, we took it from online to offline and started meeting in person. And so it's a group for all kind of content creators. So it's not just bloggers, but we have podcasters, YouTubers, social media gurus, writers, photographers. And it's just been great to meet other creatives in the city. I've built friendships through that, and learned so much about, you know, social media marketing and blogging in general. So it's been a gift for me to see it grow and to meet all the people that have come through.
it's, well, for me, it's been, that was how we met. Mm-hmm. And it's a brilliant resource because it does connect people who are working, you know, we're all working by ourselves on our own projects, be it, you know, my podcast or, you know, people who are working on their blogs. Brings us together around a topic and mm-hmm. a chance to learn and ask questions and meet other people who have got, you know, similar goals really and mm-hmm. interests. So it's this power of meeting a need that you know that's within you really, and then being able to meet that for a whole load of other people as well.
Yeah, so I guess you asked, yeah, how is it different from She Hit Refresh? Mm. I guess they're similar in the sense that, yeah, both of them came from kind of a need of me seeking a platform
yep.
to connect and ask questions. Mm. And then I guess it's kind of those things that people say, if you have those questions or doubts, probably other people do too.
Mm.
So you just kind of throw it out there and see what sticks. And yep. luckily both of these, there were, you know, the niches there that were interested in participating. And Madrid Blogger Network, like She Hit Refresh, you know, we are an online offline group, and the online group also is super engaged, positive, and no question is a dumb question. You know, you can ask whatever you want, and mm-hmm. people are very supportive and helpful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this idea of really giving value, and you knew that this was something, a need that you had as well, and then going out there and creating it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in that, the transition from almost, I don't know whether it's whether it's related to confidence or whether it's related to what it's related to, but going from the step of knowing that there's a need, or being clear what that need is, and then being able to create that yourself, because you can look at the communities that you've grown and gone, wow, you know, that's sort of grown so quickly. I'm interested in that, going from an idea or a need within you. When did you know it was more than just actually that it could be really useful for lots of people? What was the process around that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a good question. I'd have to think about it. Mm. Well, I think one, kind of stepping back from that, I think when you move abroad, it lets you step out of your role a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I kind of think, like, would I have started Madrid Blogger Network or maybe even She Hit Refresh if I were in Texas? And I probably wouldn't. I feel like here I'm more playful with my ideas and I'm more apt to try
mm-hmm.
things that maybe I wouldn't do at home, because I can play around with who I am, right? I'm in a new world and rediscovering myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, with Madrid Blogger Network, I did check to see what was out there because mm-hmm. like I said, I was looking for something and it wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I wanted to connect with these other people that I know are here in Madrid.
Yeah.
And I actually, before I started the group as a tester, I just, in a Facebook group of expats, just put, hey, would anyone be interested if I started a group?
Okay.
And the response was positive. So I kind of tested the waters to validate my idea. And the response was a lot higher than I thought. And so I thought, well, I just started. Not knowing what I was doing. I mean, the first meeting, I was like, okay, hi guys. Hi, 12 people. Thanks for coming. But I figured out I would figure it out along the way.
Yep.
And everybody was connected through, you know, a certain idea. And, you know, everyone mm-hmm. would help me make this work.
And there's so many things in that. But it's, and now I think you're having these monthly meetups where you're, mm-hmm. you've got kind of 30, 40 people coming mm-hmm. around subjects like Google Analytics or Pinterest or
YouTube,
mm-hmm. exactly. And it's such a great opportunity to ask questions and learn from people who've, you know, who are very actively developing their own projects.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of just asking questions, testing the water and going, well, let's see, I've got this idea, and then allowing things to grow from that.
Definitely. I mean, that really came from, I'm going to plug Tim Ferriss's 4-hour work week.
Yeah.
Because he does talk about validating your idea, you know, before you jump all in, kind of test the waters out. And so I kind of learned that skill of like, yeah, I mean, I can just put it out there and see if anyone's into it, and then I can roll with it. You know, it's okay if no one's interested, just move on to the next thing.
Yeah. That brings me around to other influences and people who are that you've listened to, or people that have made an impact on you in terms of the way that you work, people who inspire you. We were talking a little bit about Gary Vee.
Yes. Oh my gosh, totally.
So how do you get inspired by what you do, and who, so you talked about Tim Ferriss, is that someone who mm-hmm. you know you kind of listened to his podcast, or read his books? What's mm-hmm. Who are the people that really offer you something, kind of drive you forward in what you're doing?
Yeah, so I've kind of been on a journey through podcasts, like different parts of my life are different podcasts. So it started off, I guess, with Rich Roll. I'm not sure if you know, if you know Rich Roll. So he's a vegan triathlete, but mm-hmm. has grown his brand, is in many things vegan related. Mm-hmm. And he has an amazing podcast where he interviews not only athletes, but a lot of just interesting creative people. Mm-hmm. And his big push is about, like, you know, showing or tapping into your most authentic self. So he talks a lot about of just kind of like, you know, getting in touch with yourself. So I kind of started off my whole podcasting adventure with that, which led me to Tim Ferriss, who's really into trying different things, right? Kind of like self-experimentation.
Yeah.
And I went through that journey with him, which mm-hmm. changed me a lot in how I approach my own ideas and, like I said, being more flexible and able to mm-hmm. play with them.
Is there anything specific that you think about from from listening to his work, that a particular idea or a particular project or a kind of mindset shift that you can trace back to listening to the podcast? Is there anything?
Well, I think, you know what I think it is, and I didn't realize this till after I listened to him for a while, is that I don't stick to a lot of things, but in life, even from when I was, you know, a teenager, I love trying different things, but I never stuck with them because I always felt like, oh, well, I'm 14. I'm not a ballerina. Why am I going to ballet classes? What are people mm-hmm. going to think? Like, I just never pursued all the little things that I wanted to try. Mm-hmm. I would just dabble. And hearing somebody like Tim Ferriss, who has built his whole life around pursuing mm-hmm. different interests and experiencing different things and making that okay, mm-hmm. That just kind of, like, first made me feel like, oh my God, there's other people like me who just love a million things and don't mm-hmm. just love one thing. You know, yeah. I kind of always thought you got to find your thing mm-hmm. in life. And I was never finding that because I liked everything. So just kind of finding that affinity with him, I think gave me even more permission to play. And then after Tim Ferriss, I discovered Gary Vee. You either love him or you hate him. And I'm a big lover of Gary Vee.
What kind of things do you, we were talking about that and, you know, the right dose of Gary Vee, mm-hmm. And feeling, you know, that kind of balance between feeling motivated and feeling like you're massively behind. But what have you got from his podcast and his style? Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely not as hard of a worker as Gary Vee, but I do aspire to be. I do like working hard. And I love that his message is like, I got to where I am because I put in the work. There's no life hacks about it. Mm-hmm. And also what I love, I mean, he is a great community builder mm-hmm. and he is engaged with his following. I mean, the guy works a lot, but he's still on Twitter talking to people, answering questions. And that just motivates me more to stay engaged with my community. And shows me the value of what that is to have that connection mm-hmm. With your peeps, right? And then another thing too, I mean, he's all about positivity and people, and so am I. Like I said, I love people. And when every time he says that he loves people, I'm like, oh, that's my guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. and so, I don't know, I just get a lot of energy from him and inspiration. I mean, he just keeps it positive and high energy.
Yeah, I think he speaks a lot about the importance of knowing yourself mm-hmm. and about being empathic and kind of starting from that place of being in a good place yourself, almost, to be able to help other people, mm-hmm. which I think is such an important message. So I'm thinking of people who might be perhaps thinking they're in their traditional job, or they might be wanting to explore maybe a project or location independence. What mm-hmm. would you say to people who are perhaps in that more traditional job, but mm-hmm. thinking, can I do this? Maybe I'm too old, maybe I'm, you know, I don't quite know what my skills are, where do I start? What would you say to people based on all of your experiences?
Well, if you're a woman 30 and above, I would say come join She Hit Refresh. But I would say start a side project. I mean, for me, my opportunities really opened mm-hmm. up when I started my first blog. And that was just 2016, which mm-hmm. is not that long ago.
Yeah.
And I didn't start it with the intention of it to open doors. But just having a side project in something you enjoy will lead you to meet other people, like-minded people, lead you to stumble upon other information that may open doors. And so I would say dabble in your interest while you can. I mean, you have your 9-to-5, do that. And then when you get home, play around and build and create and see where it takes you.
We were talking a bit about that before recording, the value of how we're maybe, you know, not encouraged to do that so much in our work life, but the huge value of learning through projects. For me, it's such a big thing, rather than focusing on the end point and before you've experienced the steps to get there, allowing yourself to go, well, it's a project, it's an experiment, which very much kind of frees up your thinking to be a bit more flexible and to really experience it and go, well, do I like this? Am I good at it? Are there people who are responding to it? For me, that learning through projects is such a big part of my approach to things that I think is hugely valuable and allows you to be a bit more present really in what you're doing. That's been my experience.
I would agree. I mean, it's the journey is where you're going to learn everything, not an end point. And also, it's okay to fail. Like when I started my first blog, it took me forever. I mean, I didn't want to say I was a blogger. I didn't even want to put it out there for my friends to see, because what if I didn't write a second post? Or what if my writing wasn't good enough? Or what were people going to say? They're going to judge me. And then I had to get over that and just put it out there. And I'm so glad I did, because it led to other things. So you just kind of have to like push your ego out of the way. You do you. It doesn't matter what other people think. Like, explore what's inside of you and what's, you know, calling you to explore, because it's, you know, that voice inside of you is telling you to explore that for a reason.
Are there any other kind of tools or tips or things that maybe you do in your daily life that keep you in a good place, I guess, that enable you to then be massively contributing to these other groups? Because that takes a lot of energy to be contributing and giving to other people in that way. What do you do to kind of keep yourself in a good place, basically, day to day?
Well, as I've gotten older, exercise. I mean, people tell you that when you're younger, but I mean, I was not an active person. So really just taking the time for me, whether it's running or yoga, definitely kind of helps clear my mind. Like you said, engaging with people. I'm a highly social person, so whether it's in person or online, like, that does take a lot of my energy. And so I also need time alone. As social as I am, like, last weekend was my anti-social weekend. I loved just 2 days not seeing, hanging out with anybody. And so I know that's what I need for myself.
Protecting that time, which we often think of extroverts as not needing that time, but how important it is for everyone.
And also, I mean, I just started creating a bullet journal. And just the act of creating, of sitting there coloring with markers, you know, I'm also a very mobile person, so for me to sit still and just focus is a little bit difficult, but I found it so therapeutic. You know, I forgot what it was like to just sit and color and draw. So find what works for you.
On that note, I think I'll say thank you so much, Seppi. It's been really wonderful speaking with you. Very energizing conversation that I'm sure will be really helpful for lots of people. So thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.